McLaren was in the TalkSport studios last week chatting to Sam Allardyce and Alan Brazil, and they got talking about his strike partners over the years, and he had this to say.
You know, a lot of the time, the best centre-forward partnerships over the years have been when there's almost one really unselfish player and one selfish player. So you look back at the, you know, probably my career, let's say. Well, Emil Heskey was probably my best foil, and I'd say I was probably the more selfish one, and he was unselfish.
There we are. No, my praise indeed.
Quite a compliment.
Emil was with us in the studio. His autobiography, Even Heskey Scored, is out now. Good to see you, Emil. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you for having me.
That's nice to hear that from Michael. You did have a good relationship with him on the field, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great. It went back to England under 18s. He came into our side. He was that good.
Yeah.
and he was probably the best player then as well. And it just clicked, you know, when someone just has, you have that understanding with someone, you understand where they want to be, where they're going to be, and it was just something that went on from strength to strength from then.
Yeah. Is it just, can you put your finger on why that is? Is it just a kind of, you just get a sort of sixth sense, an understanding with someone, you can't quite put your finger on why?
Yeah, definitely. It's just an understanding that you have. I understood, when I look back at it, and there was a particularly a goal against Villa.
Yeah.
At Anfield, I've robbed the ball of someone in the midfield, and I've knocked it down the wing, and I haven't even looked.
Wow, really?
I haven't even looked.
I just crossed it,
and he knew exactly where it needed to be.
Wow!
So little things like that, you know, when you're not looking and you're doing things, it's off the cuff, and you know, you have this little sense that I know where he's going to be.
When you got back in the England team under Steve McLaren, when you say in the book, Steve McLaren openly said, "Well, Michael says I should give you a recall," which is a kind of compliment in some ways, but a bit weird in others.
Yeah, I found you a little bit weird at first, but thanks, Michael.
Yeah, we got you back in. The book is called Even Heskey Scored, and it goes back to a line that people used about the infamous 5-1 against Germany.
I mean, an amazing result.
Yeah, it was. I mean, how did you feel about that? Because you say in the book, people often say, well, you didn't get that as many goals maybe for England as you should have done. But as Michael said there, you were an unselfish player. You were a team player to an extent, weren't you? Even though you're a goal scorer as well.
Yeah, the thing is, I enjoyed being a team player as well because it is a team sport.
Yeah, of course.
People forget that at times. They pick up on one player, but without the other players, I don't think you would particularly be up there on that pedestal.
No.
But we're happy to do that, you know, and I was happy to play my role and enjoyed playing my role, to be honest with you, and because I got just as much satisfaction out of creating goals than I did the scoring.
Righty was on with Alan Shearer on Match of the Day the other night, with Gary Lineker, and Gary said to them both, you know, about how would Harry Kane be feeling tonight? 4 goals in a match and he hasn't scored. And Alan Shearer said he'd be gutted. Yeah. But I mean, were you
and
like...
And Righty said that.
Yeah, but were you like that?
No, I'd be happy that we won the game. It didn't necessarily bother me in that sense, like, oh, we've if I'd lost the game, yeah, but if we won the game 4-5 and Bayern scored, we've won.
Yeah,
that result against Germany did wonders for German football. I mean, they wouldn't have won the World Cup, would they?
Had to restock, didn't they? And we were talking about it before, and that they obviously, with your Ozils and people like that, they started to look towards the 18s and 21s and seeing where the next batch is coming from, and then really focusing on them that much that they went on to win Euros and World Cups.
Yeah. Well, Jim, what do you remember before that game? I mean, did you feel, I mean, Carsten Janka scored the first goal, didn't he? So you're thinking, oh, blimey. But did you feel, boys, feel before that game that you had a good chance?
Yeah, definitely. We were a very confident bunch of lads, so and confident in the team that we had. Obviously, going 1-0 down wasn't in the plan, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was speaking to someone and everyone knows where they are when that game was being played.
Yeah.
Bloke come up to me and said, "Yeah, I remember. I went to the game. We had tickets on the halfway line, but some reason he said that he went behind the goal."
Yeah.
And I said to him, "Well, how were you feeling after 10 minutes?" He went, "I wasn't happy at all."
One of my neighbours, she'd said to my wife that she was going to pop round as we'd got a new 3-piece suite. She said, "Oh, we're thinking of getting one very well. Carl, come and have a look at it at some point and see if we like yours." And it was about 20 minutes into the game. She knocked on the door, said, "I've just popped." I said, no, you're going to have to come back. So I'll never forget where I was.
Racing football is a hot topic, a big topic, and you haven't pulled your punches in it in the book at all, have you? You've talked quite a lot about it, and it's been difficult, as it is for all black players. Mm-hmm. It was difficult for you too.
Yeah, definitely. You got to remember, growing up in the 80s, I was 78, so growing up in the 80s, racism was normal. It was normal to be going down the street and to think about where you're actually walking. Mm. Think about what side of the street you're walking on.
Mm.
Little things like that. I talk about being chased from the Leicester Stadium. I think I'd have been about 13, 14. Ironically, that guy could have been chanting my name 4 years later.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit weird. And I even look at 14-year-olds now and think, well, what? I've got no reason to even look at you. So why would a person chase me?
Yeah. You talk about a game, England game in Bratislava.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, having, as you said, lived with racism in football and out of football, that still had the power of shock, didn't it? It seems.
Oh, yeah.
That was on a different...
I didn't expect it. That
on
was
a different level, yeah.
I didn't expect it.
Tell us what happened.
So we've taken the kickoff. Took the kickoff, pass it back to Bex, nothing. Pass it back to Scholesy, nothing. Come to me, boo. And then go to Ashley, then go back to Bex, fine. Go back to Ashley Cole, boo. Go back to Sol, boo. Then go back to another white player, nothing. And it wasn't until like passing it around and I'm thinking, oh, I understand what they're doing. I just thought they were booing me and I hadn't smashed anyone yet.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, what's going on? But in essence, I just got on with it. I let it go over my head a little bit and just played my game.
So these were monkey chants that you were getting from all the black players on the field. But on a different level to everything you'd ever experienced before.
Oh, yeah, no. We were not that big a crowd doing it all together. No.
God, dear me. I mean... You like to think we've come a long way, but there's been...
I'm not sure we have.
There's been stuff going on recently, even in this country, where we like to think that, you know, it's better than it has been in the past, but it's still a lot of work to do, isn't
different
there?
Ways that you can do it, isn't there? Now social media is the next platform that's been bombarded with it. Abroad as well, with Lukaku getting it, and then getting it from a presenter as well recently, saying what he had to say. I just don't get it. I don't get where their mind is to say some of these things. It's too easy to hide behind social media and say whatever you want.
Mm.
That is something that's probably, I'm guessing social media will have to address and will probably look at.
Yeah.
In the
but
long
you've got racism from the fans, but you've also got, and you talk about this, and perhaps we'll have a more extensive chat after the break, but about the glass ceiling for black coaches, and that's a different problem altogether, I think.
Yeah, that's a different problem altogether. At the end of the day, when you look at your likes of your... I'll give you Dwight York. He's had his pro licence. God knows how long he's had that for. Where has he coached?
Yeah.
Is he coming?
And we've seen... I mean,
he's played at the highest level.
Two guys you like and you played with have both gone into coaching quite quickly. Top-level coaching in Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard, you say.
Yeah.
And...
Look, I said it, and I believe they probably deserve the chance to go into that.
Yeah.
But when you look at Sol Campbell, who at the time had his pro licence, he's obviously got his pro licence, the two other players didn't have their pro licence. They're working towards their pro license, but they're up here and he's down there. And then you can say, oh, yeah, but it's medals. He's won more medals, just as many medals as the others.
He's done a great job at Macclesfield, but now, he hasn't got another job yet. You hope he will.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's just got to bide his time like everyone else, they keep saying.
Has it put you off of going, kind of doing your pro license and putting the time in that you need to?
The thing is, everyone keeps telling you, go and get your badges. They can't turn you down. Well, they can turn you down with your badges or without your badges. Now, if they really want you in there, they'll bring you in there. I look at the likes of Sol with his badges. I look at the likes of Andy Cole with his badges. I look at the likes of Les Ferdinand, who's obviously got a different job, but he had his badges. Dwight York with his badges. I can keep going on and on. Michael Johnson with his badges.
Michael's just started working with England with Chrissy Powell, isn't he?
It'd be interesting to see what he actually does. Is he at coaching or is he just observing?
Mm.
It'd be interesting to see. And I think Jason Yule's doing as well, which is great.
Yeah.
And there's one other, I can't remember who else.
Emil Heskey's with us in the studio. We'll chat more. We'll talk about his time, like that, how the difficulty of moving as a young player from Leicester to Liverpool. His autobiography is called Even Heskey Scored, and it's published by Pitch, and it's out now. Emil Heskey in the studio with us. We're chatting about his autobiography, Even Heskey Scored. And interesting, we often talk about overseas players coming in and getting homesick and needing the support of the clubs to find time to adapt. But you say in the book, Emil, that even moving from sort of Leicester to Liverpool, a couple of hours up the road, you found that really difficult. You could have done a little bit of help in that transition.
Yeah, definitely. I was only a kid as well. I was 22 years old. I hadn't really left mum and dad's house or anything like that. So moving up on my own, and I had two kids at the time as well. So knew I wanted to move and wanted to play at a higher standard or a higher team, but didn't know what all that was that come with it.
I mean, they gave you a lovely place to live, lovely part of the city, and you said you'd sort of spend sometimes hours just kind of staring at the ceiling, getting up, getting tears at times.
Getting upset. That was the first time that it happened, and it was weird because then you'd go to training and everything would be fine because you'd be around your players, you'd be on the training field, and that gives you that joy, gives you that love because that's where you love being. Mm. Then you go back to your apartment and you'd be like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Where do I go?
Do you think there's still more? I mean, the clubs have got so much better at that over the years. But do you think this? I mean, you kind of hint at the fact that you think there's maybe a role for someone, even something you'd like to be involved in, kind of mentoring young players in that transition when they become big names, they make big moves.
Yeah, 100%. There is definitely the clubs are doing a lot now, and they're aware of it now more. Whereas before, you just sit in your own thoughts and you wouldn't tell anyone. No one would even know, because no one would have known that I was going through that.
And they've spent 11 million, they've made a huge investment in you, so it's kind of important they get that right as well.
And at the time they had a player liaison, but at the time I was thinking that the player liaison is for the foreign lads coming over. Yeah. I didn't realise it's for everyone.
Yeah, so you never really looked for help.
Somebody might have mentioned it to you. Yeah. One thing about playing for seven clubs is it's very good for book sales. If you're one club man,
you do a signing,
nobody else is going to buy the book except the fans of that club. So it's good from that point of view.
I was talking to a Liverpool fan though, who said you were coming in. There's a lot of love for you at Liverpool. Yeah. So you had a great relationship.
Did you play in the final in Dortmund?
Alaves, yeah, you did. Yeah, you
played. Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah. So 2001 was a great year for you in Germany, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was great. That season itself, scoring 21 and winning three cups was amazing. I'd won the cup with Leicester the season before as well, the League Cup, and to go on and win it again with Liverpool, and then the FA Cup, and then the UEFA Cup, Super Cup as well.
You worked with a lot of different sort of managers. So Martin O'Neill, you kind of sense that Leicester was that kind of early mentor, but very different styles, I would imagine. You worked under people like Capello and Martin O'Neill. I imagine they're sort of chalk and cheese.
Yeah, definitely. Martin, in all fairness, Martin was great for me at that time because he didn't give me too much information. Just go out and enjoy yourself. Go and play. I played left wing back. Just go and just stop him from getting past you. Wow. And then when you get the ball, go and take it past him and cross the ball. Simple instructions. Get it, turn and run. And I was great at that. So, but then when I went to Liverpool, I learned a lot more under Julio, who was brilliant, fantastic. Sitting in meetings, doing certain drills. It was brilliant.
And it sounds different England managers as well. Sven, I mean, you say in the book like a number of players of that era, you kind of felt as a squad you should have won something.
Yeah, we could have. I think we should have and probably could have.
Yeah,
we had a really good squad. But then again, you look at France's team. They are out my age group as Henri, Trezeguet,
Anelka,
Saha. William Gallas, Sylvester.
So they had a golden Mandoble generation too.
And then you had Zizou to it.
It does bring its pressure. We've seen that with Belgium, haven't we? It does bring it. When everybody, that expectation's on you to go and win something, it makes it that little bit tougher.
100%. And I'm guessing we did feel a little bit of pressure, but we did enjoy we did enjoy ourselves. And the thing was as well, I always looked at it, the qualifying wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
It was the tournaments that we just didn't quite work.
Yeah,
it could be a role for you there, telling players how to be in. Actually, they were better last summer.
I think they adjusted to it better. Their social media was great. They were all together more. I know Rio talked about it about having, and it's funny because having the Man U's and then Liverpool's and then, I went from being in the Liverpool camp kind of thing with when I was playing for England, and then left there, went to Birmingham, didn't play for England, came back as a winger player, and I'm kind of best of the rest, and I wasn't no longer in that camp kind of thing, and that was a little bit strange as well. But you know, they seem to be more together as a group now, and they do a lot of things together, and you can see it on social media and everything.
I mentioned to our European expert earlier on about what you said about Jadon Sancho as he played his 50th game. You played abroad. You played in Australia for a little while, didn't you, as well? Is that, would you have liked to have maybe played in Europe, given the chance? Did that option come up?
I would have loved to have played in Europe, to be honest with you. I always wanted to play in Italy. Seeing David Platt and people like that playing, Insi playing, Gazza. You always wanted to follow that their footsteps. Whether I could have coped with being abroad, I'm not sure.
Yeah, as you said, the homesickness may have kicked in, but did it get better as you got older? It was just that period
when I was, and it probably lasted what six to eight months.
Yeah,
And as well, I had Peggy Arfex had come in from Leicester, who I'd been Leicester with for a while, and he helped that sort of transition as well.
Is Leicester the first result you look for? Still, are they your
bit of both? Liverpool and Leicester. Leicester's home, so I'll always look for them, and Liverpool is who I supported.
Yeah, Paul's been in touch. He said, I remember Emil's first game. There was a sickness bug that away at QPR wiped the Leicester team out, and we lost a miserable game on a Tuesday night. But that was your first game. Yeah, you got your chance.
Yeah, definitely. It's a strange one because as a young lad, I'm going to the games, helping out, pick up the kit with the kit man and stuff like that. I'm training with the first team a little bit, but I'm playing most of my games with the youth team as well. So I go down there, and like you said, a bug had gone through, and a lot of the players were sick. So manager didn't say anything to me, and he just pulled up this before the game, an hour before the game, pulled back the sheet, and my name's on there. I'm like, oh. So it was good in a sense that no nerves or anything like could settle in, but I would have liked to have known.
But that was, he was, from what you say about Martin O'Neill, it was a lot that of it was
that, was that wasn't him. That, oh, was, him. That was Mark McGee.
Oh, Mark McGee. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Just before.
How interesting.
Yeah, so he left not long after.
Something else interesting in the book, you alert everybody, which is good of you, because if they haven't seen it, they'll go and watch it now, like I did last night, was a clip of you on Rod Hull and Emu show in a kind of competition with some of your schoolmates. And unfortunately, they keep, by mistake, they're calling you Emily.
Yeah.
So by mistake.
Yeah,
well,
that was actually Boys Brigade.
Boys Brigade, you're right, sorry.
Yeah, so
it was a charity kind of run, wasn't it? You had to do some sort of
obstacle course.
It's a knockout
obstacle course.
It's a big TV show at the
time. At the time it was huge, absolutely huge. And I got to go on there, and then
Nicole. Did you get attacked by the emu?
I can't even remember.
He can't attack the kids, can he?
Then he calls me Emily, and then forgets that he's called me Emily and calls me Emily again.
Yeah. it's unbelievable. You were just telling us off here that even when you go and buy yourself a cup of coffee, that still goes on.
That still goes on. So I don't use my first name when I buy coffee or tea or anything.
Really?
I use William
you mean
or Ivan.
The place where they ask you to
write the name down. So I use William or Ivanhoe.
Ivanhoe. Now, that's the other thing we all know about. Whenever they do, somebody
no one
else
is going to put their hand up.
No, exactly.
I have coffee for Ivanhoe.
Oh, no, I think that was mine. When they always have that little kind of box out in a newspaper when someone's middle name comes up, they'll have the top 10 middle names and always in there.
Mine.
Ivanhoe. Yeah. So where did it come from?
I don't know. I'm guessing my dad liked some sort of Knight of Round Table or something. I don't know. It was a TV
show at the time.
Yeah. So it wasn't a family name then? No, I've often wondered, just pulled out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So William is my granddad's name.
Yeah. That's my middle name too. That's a good name.
Yeah, there you go. Ivanhoe, I'm guessing, just plucked out of somewhere.
Yeah. And did you give Ivanhoe to any of your kids?
No, no.
That was never
going to
happen, surely.
I can't be that cruel.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff around your time at Leicester as well. It was quite a drinking culture, wasn't it? It was quite a bit of a party team.
Yeah, it was what was done at the time. You know, people will tell you, if you go back, people will tell you that Tuesday, because you usually have Wednesday off, Tuesday night is a night where everyone's going out.
Yeah.
And we had heavy drinkers. Big lads, who would come Thursday, come the game day, they're fit as anyone, but could actually drink a lot.
Yeah.
And I tended to stay well away from that.
Well, he did try and drink a bottle of champagne once.
Yeah, that was, but that was cup final.
Cup final. Yeah. I mean, you can do that. That's fair.
Well, you can do it if you can do it. I couldn't do it.
And finally, is there anybody now? I know strikers, the kind of role of the striker. There's not many strikers like Michael Owen, the style he played in the Premier League now. But is there anybody you look at and think, I think I could have had a good partnership with him. That would have worked.
Well, now they don't play with two up, do they?
So
it's difficult to look at.
You and Aguero would have been quite handy.
And even Vardy, because playing over the back, and then whether I flick it on or hold it up and lay him in, and people like that. It's difficult to say, because like I said, they don't play with two up front anymore. Everyone's just one up front, and fast wingers or wingers that play inside.
They'll be doing that on FIFA now. You can manipulate.
Heskey
and Vardy up front for Leicester, all the Leicester fans. Emil, lovely to meet you. Thanks
very
much for coming.
No problem. Thanks
for having me. Wish you well with the book. Even Heskey Scored by Emil Heskey is out now in hardback, published by Pitch.